Hello, and welcome to Teach Languages Online, the podcast that is very much what it says in the name, all about how to teach languages online and everything that comes with that beyond the teaching as well. My name is Lindsay, I'm your host for this show, and you may be new here, listening for the first time, or maybe you subscribed to this feed a little while ago, and we're back. Hello, I'm so excited to have some new episodes to share with you, the start of a new season, maybe even the start of this becoming weekly again. We'll see how things go. But yeah, I've got some stuff I want to share, so I figured this is the best way to do it. And we're going to start with talking about something that I very recently shared. So a regular feature now on the online language teaching calendar for a few years is the Online Teacher Summit hosted by Elena Mutunono. And it's just always such a wonderful event because there's this theme, there's a topic each year with the event. So it's not just like a bunch of random information. There's actually something kind of more cohesive. And this year in 2023, I was invited to speak at the end and speak at the event. And the topic was all about content. And I was thinking about content and, you know, what I'd been doing recently for content at the point I was asked. And I thought, I know exactly what I want to talk about. I want to talk about new clients with old content. And so that's what I talked about. And now it's, you know, a few weeks, a few months back since the event, I want to share that with you here as well. So yeah, that's what we're going to talk about. But why old content? Well, I can tell you why I turned to old content. So for a lot of 2022, creating new content wasn't an easy option for me. I was really busy with lots of things going on at the same time. I was in final throes of my MA dissertation. It was all happening. And so some things naturally had to take a back seat, and content creation was one of them. And I love creating content. I love having things to share. But I thought, you know, well, seeing as I've already been creating content to promote Lindsay Does Languages pretty consistently since 2014. A break was long overdue to help reset my energy, reset my ideas. But I didn't want like a full radio silence, you know? So I chose to use this time to really revisit lots of previous content that I'd created over the years. And as it turns out, that was over 500 blog articles. Some great, some, you know, not so great. But even the not so great ones, there was still something that I could do there. We'll get to that in just a minute. And I know that maybe you're thinking, oh, well, I'm all good at the minute. I can keep going. I'm happy to keep creating new content. But honestly, I'm sure you know this feeling. This is something that I believe all online teachers should think about doing, think about updating our content. I know you know this feeling because we've all been there. You're creating new, and it just feels like no one has the time to see and fully take in what you're making because you feel obliged to always be making and sharing something new, right? Well, chances are, you know, if you've been teaching online for a while, you've got a nice little archive of content that maybe isn't working as hard as it could be for you. So start off by, you know, having a little look at your website's page views and how many of those page views are from your newest content versus your older and slightly embarrassing stuff. And, you know, that older stuff has had longer to exist, be shared more and build SEO kind of kudos, you know. So there's definitely something to be said for revisiting it and updating it when people are already finding it. So, of course, I'm not saying never make anything new ever again, but I am saying that this is something that can work in alongside creating new content as well. So how do you do this? First of all, number one, for me, the right option was pausing new content and then auditing the old. So I paused publishing new content just to give me that bit of space to audit the older stuff. And this isn't 100% necessary, but for me, it just gave me a little space to get the initial audit done and realize what to change and update about my whole process of publishing content going forward as well. And maybe you want to work with someone on this, someone who knows their stuff about SEO and content copywriting, that kind of thing. I worked with Kerry of God Save the SERP. She was amazing. It was a really great process. I'll link in the show notes of this episode as well. But this isn't necessary, and it's something you can totally do on your own, especially if you don't have over 500 pieces of content. So firstly, what I'd recommend as you're going through the start of this process is checking for outdated content. And we all have those posts that are really important at one particular time. Now, not so much. For example, best languages to learn in 2012, or 15 things all English learners need to learn in 2019. And at the time, that has good intention. And, you know, some of these are things that can easily be updated. So maybe 15 things all English learners need to learn in 2019. Really, if you take the year out of that title, the rest of the actual content is still fine. The 15 things are pretty much solid still. Or maybe there's like some very 2019 specific slang that has faded that you can maybe take out and replace. So, you know, checking those sort of older things that may be outdated is useful. And there might be some that can be updated regularly, maybe on an annual basis. So if you have something that is about, you know, brilliant events for all English learners to attend in 2023, maybe that you update from your 2022 post and the 2021, right? So you just keep updating the same link. So you don't put the year in the URL. The URL is, you know, language events for English learners or something, and there's no year, and you can update it that way. If you choose to do this, be sure to keep a note so you remember to do it as well. But often, you know, these things can be a bit outdated, maybe not bringing in much traffic. In that case, they can be redirected to more relevant content, or even a 404 page if you've got a nice sort of 404 page setup that works well with an email opt-in, etc. For redirections, if you're on WordPress, try the plugin with the very with the name that reminds me of how I name podcasts. The plugin is called Redirections. That's it. Okay, next up is searching old keywords. So, you know, you remember when Periscope was the next big thing, right? Or when Vine existed. Perhaps you wrote a blog called 17 Ways the Harlem Shake Can Help You Learn Spanish. Or maybe you didn't. But you get my point. And if there's any old keywords that are no longer relevant, then these are the next batch of posts that you can easily and quickly redirect to something better. Next up, fixing broken links. So again, another inventively named plugin for you, Broken Link, if you're using WordPress. This will periodically scan your website for broken links, giving you an easy way to keep track and update them. And you can choose to simply remove links and references to them, or you could add an updated or more relevant link as you go through that process too. And also redirecting embarrassing old stuff. So if you've been using it for a while to promote your online teaching, there's probably some stuff in the archives that you wouldn't publish now. So maybe getting a puppy was the biggest news and you felt that that deserved its own blog article in 2013. Okay, the dog is probably a lot older now. Probably time to let that post go. So that's the other kind of thing that you maybe want to go through, redirect or completely update if you want that, you know, if the title, the content is still relevant. As you're thinking about all of this and these different things that, you know, we're starting to go through and to kind of spring clean, there's a lot of work that is going to happen and you're going to want to keep track of this all. Keep track of everything in Airtable. This is the second kind of step of this whole process. Firstly, we're thinking about it. Do we want to pause completely? Do we want to just, you know, dedicate? We're thinking about that thing. And then second, keeping track of it all. So, you know, this doesn't happen just chaotically without some kind of order. And the best place I found to organize my content is Airtable. I really love that I can link between tables, including multiple or single select tagging and labeling, the filters, the sorting, the groups, the different viewing options. All of the features are really, really helpful and lend themselves really well to this process. So I have to give credit as well to the wonderful Katie Prince, who shared the initial template that I've adapted for these purposes as well. She's just glorious and wonderful. So definitely look her up. And when you set this up, there's a few different tables that you're going to want to include in your table base. So a bit of lingo, tables, bases, it will all make sense, don't worry. So one of them is your call to action library, another is your affiliate library and content library. You could split the content library into upcoming content and published content, completely up to you. And also I recommend including an SEO words library too. So what do all of these mean? How do you use them all to keep track of everything? So first of all, then the call to action library. This is where you'll save variations of the copy that you use within your blog content or YouTube videos, podcasts, etc., that expresses your calls to action. So call to action is marketing speak for sharing what people should do next if they want to learn more from you, right? When people finish reading a blog post, do you want them to finish reading the blog post and close the tab and that's it? Or is there some other way, something else that you have that can help them to go one step beyond what you've shared in that blog post, right? That's what a call to action is and what it does. So for example, if you've got courses or products that are available for enrollment all year round, you want to include some calls to action for these. If you've got free opt-ins, this is another thing that you'll want calls to actions for as well. And the point of your call to action library is that you don't want things to be the same every single time, right? So just having a few different variations of your copy, just mixing this up, keeps things fresh. And then you can link between the records here in your call to action library and with your content table as well. So you know exactly which pieces of content have which calls to action. Next up is your affiliate library, when you can do exactly the same thing. We're linking your affiliates to the exact pieces of content. So this is where you'll keep tabs on the companies and people that you're an affiliate for, if any, if this is something that's part of your business. And as with your call to action library, you can link across to your main content library and keep track of where and how often you mention each affiliate link. So this is useful if you want to track how well each affiliate link is doing as well. The SEO words library, so another plugin for you, this one is not quite as intuitive, but still has a bit of it in the name. So this one is AIO SEO, which sounds like the modern day version of the YMCA. AIO SEO, that's the WordPress plugin that I would recommend to help you with SEO. It's all in one SEO, that's what it stands for. As you're going through this process, it's really, really helpful. However, one thing I found tricky with it was figuring out, it gives you this like score for your headlines, you know, to, once you've entered your keyword and like, oh yeah, this is a really good headline to get high on Google for that keyword, right? It does all of that stuff. But what I found really tricky with this was figuring out which words would score highly for SEO in blog titles. There wasn't like an easy list that I could find. And it just tells you, oh yeah, you've included this percentage of common words, uncommon, emotional and power words. But there's no lists of what it considers these words to be. So once you've done a title, it will say, oh, you've got this word, which is common, and that's X percentage of common words in your title. And so that's it. That's the only time you see it. So as I've gone through this process of updating, I've also been making notes of SEO words that it lists as each, as common, uncommon, emotional, and power, to save time with each new updated blog. So there's no more racking my brain to remember what they all were. They're just there, saved as and when I find them and discover them. And finally, your content library. So this is the big one. Here, you'll keep a record for each piece of content on your website, YouTube channel, podcast feed, wherever your primary content collection is. And you'll be able to see which calls to action and affiliate links are included at a glance, as well as whatever other info you feel is useful. I recommend including a few columns. So you're going to want content type, whether it's blog, podcast, video, or combination of multiple. The direct published URL, so the exact URL to access the content. The redirect URL, so if we're talking about those embarrassing ones when you got your first puppy and they're now going to be redirected, link to the redirect URL where it goes now. The current CTA, so here we're going to link to those records from your call to action library. Affiliates mentioned, so here we're going to link to the records from your affiliate library. Links to your stuff as well. So just keeping tabs of any links that you make direct to your own courses, products, or service sales pages. Having that there is really useful too. New brand images. So if we're going through updates, then this is particularly important. I have this as a checkbox just to keep up to date on whether or not new style brand images have been created and added to the content. Notes for improvement, so it's really handy just to have a simple text box for each record to jot down any quick notes, and a priority tab. Now, we're going to talk about more on this in the next section. Okay, so we understand the process now. We've got our plan in place to make things nice and easy in the Airtable. And by the way, if that feels like, whoa, this is overwhelming, with the template, don't worry, I'm giving you a free template that you can work with. So we'll talk more about that at the end. The link will be in the show notes as well. Finally then, you need to make a plan to tackle that old content. So once you've added all your content to your Airtable library, you've created your setup, it's time to get the audit started. And in fact, that audit itself is one side of things. The other is updating your old content once you know what needs updating, right? So it's kind of a two-step process, and it's up to you to decide how best to tackle this. You'll know more than me how you work best. Do you work best with smaller pockets of time, kind of more on a more regular basis to get things done? Or maybe you work better with like a whole week blocked out, dedicated to this one task? Or perhaps you'd prefer to hire someone freelance to complete this for you. And there's really no one best way. It's only what's going to be best for you. So what I will say is, whichever you choose, there are some useful tips I can share across the board. So firstly, prioritize. We mentioned that column priority at the end of the last section that we discussed. So in your content library, just including that column to note which pieces of content are a priority to update first is really, really useful. And obviously, you're going to want to start with high priority updates. But how do you decide what is a high priority to update? Well, firstly, posts with more traffic. So have a look at your stats. What's getting the most traffic? That is the stuff that, if it's older content getting traffic, you may want to prioritize to update first. Posts that strongly fit your current messaging. So maybe your focus has shifted over the years, but there's some kind of golden nuggets in your older content that really fits now with who you want to be working with and what you have to share. Well, then those posts that fit that can be a good priority as well. Posts that could or should strongly fit your current messaging. So maybe there's a blog with a really great title, but the actual content just doesn't hold up. So use the SEO that's already linked to that particular URL and that title, and then update the content. So if the content needs a bit of an overhaul, then that can be a high priority one as well. Once you've prioritized, that's when you want to think about scheduling. So as we've said, whether it's a solid block of time or regular smaller chunks, schedule your updates into your calendar to ensure it happens. And you know, you don't want to get halfway through the organization stage or the audit and then just abandon a project like this with such potential. Next up, resharing. I feel like a lot of online teachers have this kind of thing holding them back, this mindset belief holding them back about resharing stuff. Don't be afraid to reshare your old content and refreshed content, right? Chances are most people won't have seen it. And if they have, they may well be grateful for the reminder. So there's also lots of ways that you can make new promotional content to reshare too. For example, with each updating blog article that's relevant for me, I'm including a brand new episode of the How to Learn a Language podcast. That episode also goes up on YouTube, so there's a video being shared there too. Plus, I'm experimenting with making newer short form content for social media, much of which wasn't an option when these older original pieces of content were published. So that's really exciting too. Really, the key here is to lose the mindset and inhibition that everything you share has to always be brand new. And finally here, reward. And I'm not necessarily talking full on spa day for each updated blog post, although, you know, wouldn't say no, but you do want to ensure that you're rewarding yourself along the way for such a mammoth undertaking. So perhaps for every 10 blogs that you refresh, you treat yourself and go and work in a cafe one afternoon, or maybe for every 20, you take a day off. It's your call, right? Only you know what's right for your business and what will feel like a suitable reward for you. So you get to decide. And I think that's really fun. That's the really exciting bit too. As I said then, if you're thinking, yep, this sounds really good, I'm excited, I want to do this, I want to organize all my content, you can do this with the template that I'm sharing with you. And I know that this might feel overwhelming, right? I totally get it. So that's why I'm sharing this with you for free. The link is in the description, so you can grab it right away. And just visit lindsaydoeslanguages.com/template. And it's there. You can get it right now. And I hope you enjoy it. I hope you find it really useful. If this is your first time listening in to Teach Languages Online, do subscribe, because I've got some very exciting episodes coming up that I'm really looking forward to recording for you. I think they're going to be a lot of fun. So do subscribe, you'll catch all of them. And remember to share the podcast, to review it, to rate it, all of those things that just help other people find us a lot easier. It's all very much appreciated. So thank you very much for your time. I hope that this has been useful for you. And looking forward to the next episode. All right, speak to you soon. Bye.